Lieutenant Board Supervisor is convened. Supervisor Kopsa.
Pledge allegiance. Ready to begin? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Bradley.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for every opportunity to be part of a government, whether it's local, state, or federal. I appreciate the work of our board here and all that they do. And in this new year, as they choose committees to be part of and the work that they're going to be doing, I truly ask your blessing upon each one of them and their travels and their deliberations. Thank you for what they do for our community. For the participation of our people, we are grateful. And we have an open and transparent system here that we all have are aware of what's going on. We thank you for that opportunity. We are truly blessed to live in America. And we express that gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Item four, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public.
Hold on. We need roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And first, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Here.
Supervisor Harris?
Present.
And Supervisor Howe?
Present.
Thank you much.
Now I'll proceed.
Yep.
Sorry. I should read my agenda. Presentations from the public. The time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. And then please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. I have two blue comment cards in front of me. If you didn't fill one out and you wish to speak, please get one over this side of the dais and fill that out for us. First up, I have Alyssa Fox.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Alyssa Fox. I'm 71 years old and continue to work because my Social Security income is not sufficient to cover my basic living expenses. As an IHSS worker in Siskiyou County, I am limited to working in Wairika because I cannot afford the cost of gas to commute to jobs in southern Siskiyou County, such as Mount Shasta, which is approximately 35 miles away. At the current IHSS wage of minimum wage, commuting that distance is not financially possible. Many IHSS workers in the Wairika area are already working two jobs just to survive, yet job opportunities locally are limited and difficult to find. I have seriously considered relocating farther south to increase my chances of finding part-time work that would allow me to pay my bills and my car payment. However, I would hate to be forced to leave the community I have lived in and care about simply to make ends meet. Siskiyou County's decision to keep IHSS wages at minimum wage places workers like me in an impossible situation. I could earn more as an IHSS worker in any other county in California, paying caregivers so little that we are pushed to consider leaving our communities is not sustainable, nor is it fair to the workers or the clients who depend on us. I urge the Board of Supervisors to reconsider IHSS wage levels so caregivers can afford to live and work in the communities that they serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Trish Barbieri. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Trish Barbieri, Director for HHSA Social Services Division. On January 6th, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services froze or attempted to freeze certain child care and family assistance funds for California and four other states following serious concerns about widespread fraud and misuse of taxpayer dollars. This applies to three programs overseen by the Federal HHS Administration for Children and Families, ACF, and those three programs are child care, temporary assistance for needy families, TANF, we refer to TANF as CalWORKs in California, and also the Social Services Block Grant. And the funding freeze amplifies ACF's nationwide activation of its Defend the Spend system. Then on January the 9th, a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order pausing the funding freeze for 14 days while the court considers fuller legal arguments. The states argue that the HHS lacked both statutory and constitutional authority to halt funds that were already appropriated by Congress. On January 23rd, a hearing will be held, and the state of California and the other four states are hopeful that the TRO will be extended, as there were no credible allegations cited in the letter from HHS. Should the freeze occur, California is exploring contingency plans and may allow counties to access the State General Fund Loan Authority or any other loan authority permitted under state law. And this is permitted only when funding is interrupted, funding from the federal government. Should we not have that funding available to us, we are exploring options internally, locally, that Kirk Hendricks will speak to in just a minute. And he will also talk about the impact to programs and our residents in the community here that may also be impacted. I did route for you a comprehensive list of all of the programs that are included. Please be advised that we don't administer all of those programs here. Kirk is just going to speak to the programs that we do administer locally.
Good morning, my name is Kirk Hendricks. I'm the Deputy Director of Admin Services at Social Services. So you have a piece of paper in front of you titled the Federal Funding Freeze Analysis. So I'm going to go through the different programs that we administer and then what is our expected federal revenue loss on a monthly basis. So we're going to start with our CalWORKs administration. This is what we consider our single allocation. It's mostly admin costs, but there are some benefit costs in there. We don't have a case covered first account because it's mostly admin, but we're looking at about $120,000 loss per month. Child welfare services, we're averaging about $32,000 loss per month. And then Title 20 would be about $10,833 per month loss. Starting with HVP, we have four cases with a person count of five, and we're going to average about $9,500 loss per month. And then family stabilization, we have a case count of four with 11 person count, and then an average loss of $18,750. Stage one child care, we have 17 cases with 33 children with an average cost of $11,000 per month. And then CalWORKs assistance, we have 305 federal cases with a person count of 795 with an average federal loss of $150,000. So in total, we have 330 cases, 844 people with an average loss of $352,083 per month in federal dollars. All of these programs are under our 1991 realignment, so for the time being, we are able to cover these costs, at least in the short term, if the federal funding freeze does come back and they do stop giving us federal money.
Okay, I think this topic probably should have been agendized. Maybe we can agendize this in the future so that the rest of the board can engage in this topic. And then I'm going to make a request. Since this topic is ever present on people's mind these days, could you also bring back an assessment of any possible fraud in these programs that you know in this county? And what steps are being taken to either curb that or eliminate that?
Great question. Thank you for that. We definitely will agendize the topic in the future. But with regard to your question about possible fraud or misuse of dollars, we are in the process of discussing a presentation with the district attorney's office right now. We contract with them for all of our welfare fraud investigative services, and so I think we have a meeting with them this month or early next month, and we are in discussions with them to do a presentation, a joint presentation, so we definitely will come back to the board with fraud that's been pursued already in the past, and also with just an idea of where we stand with that in our community and statewide.
I appreciate that, because it needs to come back to the board as well, because we appropriate that money, we could be implicated in any fraud that would be occurring. We need to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more in-house comment? Any online?
Showing them online.
All right. Moving on to consent agenda, I have a request to pull item E, 5E. Any others from the board?
Move to approve the balance of the consent agenda minus E, I think you said?
Right. Yes.
Second.
Ready. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. I believe this is your item.
It is.
Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning.
My first question is on page 2, and it refers to the dollar amounts versus the written amounts.
Yes. Courtney Green, the Administrative Services Manager for the Sheriff's Office. I thank you for your thorough read over, and I appreciate this catch. We did make some adjustments to Exhibit A, which identifies the leased equipment and the locations we desired, and our belief was that all the backup complete to those changes was made. I would like to amend the language in alignment with the monetary amounts that were disclosed on page 2, paragraph 1, to read $3,404.05 per month, and $204,240.05 for the term of the 5-year contract. And if the board chooses to move forward, I can obtain the vendor signatures and send that to the chair, unless you prefer me to bring this to the next board meeting.
Personally, I'd like to see the corrected.
I can also route this corrected language changes to County Council. That is normally their avenue for approvals, so if you would like, I can also do that and then confirm that before signing.
Okay. Another question I have is, because this is a piggyback contract, everything in this contract refers to Butte County?
So Butte County originally posted a request for formal proposals for a similar contract for leased multifunctional devices, or what we might refer to as printer scanners. That RFP resulted in a contract with Global Office Inc. that was effective for a similar term. Global Office is honoring the rates identified in that contract for Siskiyou County by using piggyback language that is approved within the language of their contract. And so by referencing that, we are taking advantage of lesser rates than we would if we were to create an initial contract with them.
Okay, is there anything in the contract that states that invoicing is specific for Siskiyou County and those invoices come to Siskiyou County for review and approval before they're paid? I didn't see anything in there that stated that.
Normally the language in the piggyback addendum does reference that. It's not a concern of my office that wouldn't happen.
I just didn't see any reference in there that states that there's a differentiation between equipment for Siskiyou County and that invoicing is separate, and that we're not going to be How do we break that out? How do we know that we're not paying for Butte County's machines?
Because it'll match the, so our billings will match the equipment identified in Exhibit A, and then we will break out that billing into separate accountings based on the percentage of that contract per account. So when we receive an invoice, it will have all of those equipment items identified in alignment with Exhibit A.
Okay.
And that is normal of an invoice from a vendor that offers these services.
And we have to verify that?
We do every month.
Okay,
so, and that is consistent for all bills we receive that are obligated to the contract.
Okay. So it states in the contract that the vendor is supposed to verify all that, have it correct, and then we turn around and then justify everything to the invoices.
Correct. We audit it as well as the auditor's office prior to payment being issued.
Okay. Because that's the only reference that I see in there is that the contractor is supposed to send correct invoices, but nowhere in there does it state that Siskiyou County's invoicing is separate and then it comes here. It's kind of vague.
If I'm to amend page 2, paragraph 1, would you prefer I add an additional whereas clause or more introductory information?
I would be happier with that.
Would you prefer I do so with County Council mm-hmm. and bring it back to the next meeting? Okay.
Great. That makes me happy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I have. Move to approve with the amended wording and dollar figures.
I thought I heard you say
and with comes back through approvals and yada yada. It's
coming back all together, right?
That's what I thought.
Pretty much.
No action.
Bring it back.
Right.
Sorry.
So to clarify, that coming back today or?
Can it?
At a later date.
I can do it today if the council can also.
I don't want to commit her directly to this, but
okay.
I will deliver to County Council today. No, is that
right? But we'll be out of here by 11, so.
We're going to be done quickly, so.
Yeah. So let's bring it back next meeting.
Next meeting.
Okay.
You'll need to rescind your motion.
I'm rescinding my motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I got carried away.
Public request, item 6A, call your interpreter sound. Good morning, Mr. Whalen.
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to present in front of you. I've got a slideshow. I don't know if you can pull up there. Again, my name is Rennie Cleveland. I'm the president of the Collier Interpreters and Information Center Board of Directors. What I wanted to share with you today is a little bit about the Collier Rest Area and more specifically about the Collier Visitor Center. We call it the Collier Interpretive and Information Center, C2C. Just a little background. This is a safety roadside rest area, and it's named after State Senator Randolph Randy Collier. He was born in 1902 in Etna, California. He was a longtime state senator, instrumental in creating California's transportation infrastructure. He was known as the father of the California freeway system. That legacy is very fitting because this site continues to play a valuable role in how people move through and experience our Siskiyou County region. It's located on Interstate 5, north of Wairika and south of the Oregon border in the Hornbrook area. Collier Rest Area is beautifully maintained year-round and is a gateway site for Siskiyou County. For many travelers, it's the first stop or their last stop through Siskiyou County, and for most of them, many of them, it's a planned stopping point along a long road trip. Collier Information and Collier Interpretive Information Center itself allows us to turn a routine rest area or rest stop into a meaningful welcome because of our friendly staff and volunteers. We are a joint powers authority represented by the 9 communities in Siskiyou County and the county as a whole. So little bit more on that. Thousands of travelers pass through here every year. They're stopping anyway to use the restroom, stretch, take a break, or get information. What we provide is context. We basically engage with everybody who comes inside the center. We sometimes have to tell them where they are and what surrounds them, what opportunities exist nearby, and that first interaction shapes how they view Siskiyou County and whether they will choose to explore further or simply pass through. So, statistics. In 1993, now you can go through, go ahead and slide past this particular slide because it doesn't apply. The next one. One more. There you go. In 1993, we first opened our doors to the public. The safety roadside rest area alone was used by an estimated 700,000 vehicles a year. In August of 2023, the state of California has 87 sites strategically scattered throughout California, and data shows that there's 100 million people a year using the roadside rest system in California. In a good year of operation, we can expect 20,000 people to utilize our service both inside and out. Last year, however, with limited hours, we recorded a total of 6,063 visitors that came either into the visitor center or were looking at advertising on the outside. But for the most part, while we're there, the door is wide open and there's a lot of people that come in. These numbers help put the value on this site into perspective. While the facility itself is small, the exposure is significant. Even with modern engagement, just a fraction of the travelers choosing to visit a local town, stay overnight, or attend an event, there's a meaningful economic and community impact spread across the county. Tourism, one of the most important functions of the visitor center is helping travelers decide what's next. We directly connect them to local businesses, lodging, dining, recreation, and events through printed brochures and promotional advertising. We survive on paid advertising. An important note is that this isn't limited to Interstate 5 communities because we regularly send people to destinations across the county, to Lake Siskiyou, to the Klamath Basin, to the Scott Valley, to the Shasta Valley, Half a Camp, Tule Lake, literally, we allow these people to plan for their next vacation. Our goal is to keep them in Siskiyou County for as long as we can, and our volunteers are our best advertisers and advocates for the nationally managed treasures that we have here in Siskiyou County, which are managed by, as an example, the Forest Service, National Park Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, BLM, and our National Wilderness Areas. What we're seeing is encouraging, but it's revealing. Many businesses and partners recognize the value of this exposure and use us to advertise their businesses along the I-5 corridor. But it also serves as a public safety role in sharing wildfire, weather, and travel information year-round, and it builds community awareness around our history, natural resources, recreation, and agriculture. A lot of times, when we were talking to those nine communities in Siskiyou County, and maybe to a certain degree to the board supervisors, we kind of wonder, you know, why does this matter to my community? And for the most part, the answer is pretty easy, because even if a traveler never drives directly through our community, they get an example of how we represent our nine communities in the county itself. So this is really a shared regional opportunity. The Joint Powers Authority represents, and it did initially and it still does, it represents the federal agencies that work in and around Siskiyou County, the state agencies, obviously, local governments, and community partnerships. The Visitor Center serves travelers headed across Siskiyou County and beyond. For many, this is their first and sometimes their only point of contact with us as a county. And because of that, it expands the visibility for local programs, destinations, and services, and helps reflect the full diversity of our county. The strongest results come through collaboration, and when communities and agencies work together to support the site, the return is shared, broader exposure, stronger messaging, and greater regional impact. I want to thank you for your time and consideration. We appreciate the opportunity to share how this facility supports the county and the communities, and we look forward to continuing conversations about how we can strengthen it together, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions from the board? Comments?
Sure. Don't want you leave empty-handed. So, Randy, I know as a previous board member many years ago, Bob Rice had developed the board had developed plans for a salmon overlook.
Yes.
Is that in play any longer? And the only reason I bring that up is because of dam removal and now the return of the salmon. I'm sure the state of California has money somewhere tucked away for something like this that would even draw more visitors to that site and potentially give you more advertising promotion that would, you know, increase in that as well. So is that dead, or is it, you know, or is it alive again, or could
I'd have to say it's on the back burner because of because of the dam issues and Bob was the driving force behind mm-hmm. that, but it did come in front of our board of directors. It was a planned project. It went so far as to it didn't get to the design phase, but it got to the concept phase. I think it's if you're talking about a landmark item, that would be something that would be a stellar stamp of approval for that Collier Rest area. And for those who don't know, when the salmon come up and migrate, any of those anadromous fish, whether it's salmon or steelhead or even species of salmon, they're just off the back door of the Cardi Rest area of the center itself is the Klamath River, and what Bob envisioned was a kind of a cantilevered structure that would kind of reach out over the river and allow people to literally look down from the edges or whatever and see these salmon coming up. Bob, as you may or may not know, was a forest supervisor here in Siskiyou County. He worked in the Tahoe National Forest at Lake Tahoe and created a underwater viewing platform in Lake Tahoe where the long cutthroat trout come out of Lake Tahoe and into the Truckee River. So he had a lot of firsthand experience in that. To answer your question, it's still a possibility. I think with a collaborative effort, I think we could find that money and go after that because it's relatively shallow in the river as it stands right there close to the park or to the rest area. And everything that Bob envisioned was well thought out, had a lot of potential. We just never had the
funding,
the internal fortitude to go forward with it.
Well,
it seems like
go ahead.
Something EDC would want to get involved
sure.
in.
Sure, yeah. Well, even Cowfish and Wildlife, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, for all the tout of returning salmon, you know, there's yeah. money for plenty of other things, but this would be a great venue for
yes.
yeah. That rest area.
Well,
in other words,
it was the vision of Bob yeah. Rice's, and I think it would be something that would be a legacy of his too. Mm-hmm.
If this comes I guess, to the forefront again. Keep us informed how we might partner with you to search for the grant funding for that mechanism to be accomplished.
It's going to, the infrastructure is there to make it work. Mm-hmm. It's just, we're just going to have to go and pull those stuff out, that stuff out, and put it back on the table.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
It's going to take a collaborative effort.
Right. Understood. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a few questions. Mm-hmm. What's your, I'll just say it. I'm on the board for C2C, and we've been struggling a bit to try to keep afloat. Rennie, what's the working capital right now? How does that work? And what does it cost every month to keep C2C afloat?
Well, when Michael was on the board and you guys did the financial budget, I think we figured we figured about $15,000 a year. Caltrans does not allow us on a state safety roadside rest area site to sell anything within our building. It's under contract with a single vendor out of that Sacramento contracts with, and so when Collier went in, we had no funding source except for advertising. And so for a long time, that was our sole source of advertising. I've got Ellen Jansen here with me. She's our site manager. Our advertising is not stellar. We have a lot of stuff in the center that essentially promotes businesses, like you saw in Oregon and California, Safari, Wildlife Safari up in the Roseburg area is one. Disneyland is a big donor. Those dollars come in. But our actual budget, I'm going to say it's $15,000. We survive on volunteers, and we have one staff person. And she's working 3 days a week. We're running out of funds for her position right now. I don't know if I answered your question. I went the long way around.
Well, so social media has taken over, so the advertising is gone way down as far as people wanting to pay for advertising.
Yeah.
So,
and how do we promote ourselves?
It's difficult, isn't
it? It's difficult.
Yeah.
Our
insurance costs have gone way up.
Yep. Insurance, security.
Power bills have more than doubled.
Yep.
Phone bills, all that. So our actual budget is quite a bit over $15,000 a year.
Yes.
It's $35,000 to $40,000 a year.
Easy.
Yeah. And we don't make any money. We run on donations only.
Exactly.
So we have no revenue stream, and we've been working to try to figure out a way to change our contract with Caltrans so that we can generate revenue.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
We've been working to try to figure out how to augment Ellen's income and salary by creating a mentorship program with the high school to try to figure out a way to get more volunteers. And as a mentor, she could get paid through Workforce Connection. We've been trying to figure out other grant opportunities. We applied for one $250,000 grant for operational costs. That didn't get approved. We've worked on a couple other opportunities with collaborating with the EDC that did not work out, but they're still working hard with us to try to figure these things out. We did get a beautiful grant through NCRP. You want to talk about that?
Natural Resource.
North Coast Resource Partnership?
Yeah. And that was some dollars that were resource-oriented that came from a private foundation or the partnership with the Natural Resource Conservation Partnership. And we got a grant to put in one of those proposed projects that is a it's a nature trail, and it's it was dedicated to past supervisor Grace Minnett, because Grace was part of Collier for a long, long time. That went in 2025, last year, and so there were some, there were dignitaries, there were representatives from the board of supervisors there as well, but Caltrans was there. It's basically a series of signs that talk about the interpretation of that site when it was used as a training area for the indigenous Indian tribes in our area. So there's some, it's a cultural interpretive site panels that are along the river, along the walkway. There's, I think, six or eight of them that kind of tell the story of the plants and the animals and the lifestyle of the Native Americans here in Siskiyou County.
And that brings in amazing, you know, the people that walk on that trail, the visitors that walk on that trail, take pictures of those signs. Mm-hmm. And love to be able to walk along that sign, that trail. It's beautifully done. We spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of sweat to try to get that project done. And what the goal is to be able to have schools come up, have lunch there, walk along that trail, educational groups come up and learn about the local flora, fauna, fish, river, forest, fire, all of that.
That was all a key part of the whole creation of this visitor site, or visitor center. It was an interpretive site. Bob Rice was the trustee at the College of the Siskiyous. He envisioned classes coming up and utilizing that overlook, or just the educational component of that site. Historically to Siskiyou County. Bottom line is, we apply for grants periodically. The good example is what you just talked about with the Nature Trail. We don't have a core of grant writers. We have a product there that's sitting partially polished. It's got a lot of potential. That's what kind of keeps us coming back and trying to make it better. Caltrans does an excellent job. If you just look at the pictures, Caltrans does an excellent job of maintaining that site. There's 87 of them throughout California. I have people coming from Canada, from Arizona, traveling and stopping by. And if you look at the comments on our little site up sheet when they come in, this is the best rest area I've ever seen. If you haven't been there, it's worth the stop. Thank you for your time.
I do have a question. So, you know, I hear funding's always an issue, but what would be an average, in your mind, an average? Don't tell me 100 billion. Tell me a reasonable number to be sustainable to operate. We should have a goal, right?
I'm not a numbers person, but I'd say if we had $50,000 a year that we could count on, mm-hmm. that would keep a staff person there for the most part. When Grace was with the board, she was volunteering almost all of her time. For the most part, we're all volunteers, but there was a necessity to take a certain amount of that pressure off of Grace. And so we hired a part-time, a retired lady who has great knowledge of Siskiyou County and interacts with the people really well. She represents us as a Collier interpretive site and also the county really, really well. So, but I would say, Supervisor Donaldson, I'd say if we had, and that's just pulling out of the out of the hat.
Sure.
If we had a starting budget of $50,000, I think we could make it work.
Thank you.
The chair,
yes.
To back that up, one of the things that I think needs to be known is that Collier's a JPA. The nine cities and the county, this was a joint effort by them, and back in the day when it first originally started, there was a contribution from each of the entities to get to that, you know, 50 or so grand a year to keep it afloat. But it's kind of melted. I don't know how else to say that.
Well, it's, yeah, like if there's no attention given to it, then there's no interest given. Mm-hmm. The federal agencies, when we first started, Bob Rice with the federal employee at a high rank, and he knew where to go to get the $15,000 from Bureau of Reclamation and BLM and Forest Service, and he basically started out with a pot of money to allow us to design and create the building itself. I can remember Bob and George Ferrier out of Fort Jones coming to the Door City Council, which I was sitting on at the time, and they weren't asking for money. They weren't asking for support money from the communities themselves. They were looking for support. They were looking for representatives to come over and interact with volunteers to work in the center. But we've never really gone forward since in my time to go to those city representatives and ask them for funds. The city of Tule Lake, city of Doris, not half a camp necessarily, but Machiasca, Weed, Guayarica, there's more ability to offer something to us if we can prove that there's a value to them. Now, this little presentation today is something that I'm going to take from your chambers and take it to Machiasca and Dunsmuir and Weed and Guayarica, and basically tell the same story that we're telling the story of your community. If you can find the dollars to help, I think we're going to need that to survive.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving to 7A, personnel, recognition and proclamation. Good morning, Haley.
Good morning. Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. The Siskiyou Peak of Excellence program celebrates individuals who exemplify outstanding commitment, accountability, collaboration, positivity, and adaptability, fostering a culture of excellence and continuous improvement. This award recognizes employees who go above and beyond in demonstrating these values. Today, I am honored to recognize Kim Lehman as the 2025 fourth quarter Peak of Excellence winner. To focus on LEAVES began, I had a vision for what LEAVES should look like for county employees, understanding that LEAVES span a wide spectrum of life events, from the happiest of moments to truly catastrophic ones. When I decided to assign one staff member to take this on, I asked Kim if she was interested. She had recently expressed her similar feelings, and we saw that there was a need for change. We discussed what the process should look like to effectively support county employees. Kim didn't just take on this task, she made it flourish. The impact of this work is being felt across our county workplace. By ensuring employees are informed about their resources when facing life events, Kim's work is helping create a more supportive, informed, and compassionate organization. The value of her work is best captured not by my words as her supervisor, but in the words of the employee who nominated her. Sorry. The employee shared, Kim supported them through two different circumstances when their life and family endured devastating life-changing events. The employees stated, and I quote, "Kim was more helpful and made me feel more appreciated than I ever have in the 6 years I've worked for the county. She made me feel valued as an employee and supported me not only on a personnel level, but also on a human level, making me feel validated and safe in my employment. I am truly grateful for the work Kim does each day and every day to support county staff. Thank you, Kim, for the difference that you are making and for exemplifying what Peak of Excellence looks like in action."
Good job.
Very
good.
Chair House, would you like this copy for the proclamation to read from?
Yes, please.
Okay. And do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yes. Thank you. I feel honored to be selected for this recognition. Our county workers pour their hearts into serving our community in every role through various departments. Looking around the room, I saw Public Works, Health and Human Services, Public Health, Social Services, Behavioral Health, Facilities, Office of Emergency Services, and many others. We spend a large portion of our work, of our time at work, sharing our lives with our coworkers, our work family. Along with that comes great times in which we celebrate together, but often overlooked are the hard times, those quiet, difficult battles that we all face from being human, loss, grief, illness. So it's just a privilege to assist my fellow coworkers and county employees during their difficult times. We all need to have empathy for each other and remember that kindness is free.
Before I read this, I just want to say thank you. I also want to say that, you know, we often get thanked for the work we do up here, but it's people like you that drive this county and keep this county running. I don't claim any credit for that. I appreciate all the work you do and the many employees that we have and the dedication they have toward the citizens of this county. So with that said, Jim Lehman, whereas the Siskiyou Peak of Excellence program is established to honor employees who demonstrate outstanding commitment, accountability, collaboration, positivity, and adaptability, fostering a culture of excellence and continuous improvement within our organization and community. And whereas such recognition is given to employees meeting the criteria of the program, and whereas the Peak of Excellence Review Committee has considered all current nominees for the Siskiyou County Peak of Excellence Employee of the Quarter, and whereas Kim Lehman, who works in the personnel department, plays a vital role in handling employee leaves, often assisting staff during some of the most challenging moments of their lives, and whereas Kim has been nominated for this quarterly Employee Excellence Award because of her genuine caring nature and consistent professionalism, which are felt by everyone she supports. Kim exemplifies exceptional empathy, accountability, collaboration, and adaptability, and approaches each interaction with patience, understanding, and respect. Kim brings a depth of understanding and hands-on support that is critical when navigating complex and emotionally difficult situations, such as assessing the employee assistance program, applying for disability, coordinating FMLA, and catastrophic leave. Her knowledge of these processes, combined with her dedication and thoughtful approach, makes an immeasurable difference in the daily lives of county employees and sets a powerful example of what employee excellence looks like. Now, therefore, be proclaimed that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors do hereby proclaim Kim Lehman as the recipient of the Peak of Excellence Award for Quarter 4 in recognition of her outstanding contributions to the county, her dedication to excellence, and her unwavering commitment to the betterment of our community. Be it further proclaimed that Siskiyou County extends its sincere appreciation for her commitment to supporting employees with compassion and integrity and encourages all staff to follow her example of empathy, collaboration, and service, passed and adopted unanimously by the Board of Supervisors at a regular board and staff at a regular meeting of said board held on the 20th day of January 2026. Thank you. So
we need to officially
first, and then we'll come back to the board.
We need to have a motion and a second and a vote.
I'll make the recommended motion.
A second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Oh, yeah.
Supervisor Oprah?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Back to the board. Any comment?
It's a rare sight to see you out of your office.
I'm right.
I do want to say, even though you are working intensely in your office all of the time, you are noticed and you are appreciated. I just want to thank you for your hard work and dedication, and keep it up.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Who wants this?
Are you
doing
a photo walk before she goes?
No, she may stay out.
Ali's going to ask her really quickly. She's going to think
okay.
about public.
Okay.
She put it down.
She didn't even wait.
Right away.
Okay. It's a miracle we got it this
far. Can I move on?
Yeah. Yes.
Item 7B, Health and Human Services, Social Services Division. She's back.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Corey Watson, Deputy Director of Social Services. Our director, Trish Barbieri, had to step out, so we will be doing this presentation in her absence.
Okay.
I have with me Program Manager Veronica Rivera.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Deputy Director Kirk Hendricks.
All right, so on January 23rd, 1996, the Board of Supervisors proclaimed January 24th as Eligibility and Temporary Assistance Services Recognition Day. I can say that word today. Subsequent to this proclamation, Siskiyou County Health and Human Services, Social Services has undergone some internal changes that require the proclamation to be updated. So we are bringing that back. We've made some changes to the proclamation that was uploaded into Questies. Kirk's going to go over just some stats, and then I'm going to do a verbal presentation. And we're hopeful that you guys will sign the proclamation for us.
Okay. So in front of you, you have our ETOS 2025 average monthly statistics. So for CalWORKs, our eligibility workers processed on average 44 new applications per month. They had an ongoing caseload of 435 cases per month, consisting of 1,141 people, and issued $396,423 in benefits per month. In our CalFresh program, we had 244 applications a month, with 5,582 ongoing caseloads, consisting of 9,122 individuals, with expenses of $1,665,693. Medi-Cal, we had 665 applications per month, caseload of 9,023 with 16,289 individuals. We do not track expenses if that's processed through the providers, not through our department. Starting with general assistance, we had 69 new applications, 31 cases with 31 individuals with 11,138 benefits issued per month. We have 5 foster care new applications per month with 88 ongoing caseload with 88 individuals and 198,759 benefits issued. And with adoptions, we had 1 new application per month, 237 caseload with 237 individuals issuing 486,271 benefits for a grand total of 1,028 applications per month. 15,396 caseloads consisting of 26,908 individuals with benefits a little bit over $2.7 million per month.
We like to throw around a lot of numbers and acronyms. You guys haven't noticed. Eligibility and Temporary Assistance Services consist of approximately 88 positions spanning across 19 classifications and administering 12 programs that serve some of the most vulnerable populations in our community. our eligibility and temporary assistance or services staff ensure that individuals and families have access to essential supports, including food, cash assistance, medical coverage, shelter, referrals to critical services, and supports in removing barriers to self-sufficiency. Although our name is Eligibility and Temporary Assistance Services, there are so many moving parts and things that happen behind the scenes in order for administration of these services to be provided to our community. Our fiscal staff play a critical role in ensuring responsibility and stewardship of public funds. Our fiscal team helps our administrative team track and ensure compliance with the state and federal funding requirements while maximizing available funding to best serve our community. Our information and technology staff ensure that our 30 plus systems function effectively and that staff have the tools and electronic resources necessary to perform their work efficiently. Our welfare fraud investigators help protect the integrity of our programs by identifying and addressing fraud, ensuring that benefits are directed toward those who are truly eligible. Our staff analyst trainers ensure that staff are properly trained and kept current with state and federal regulations. This team could not run without our supervisors, managers, eligibility workers, employment and training workers, social services assistants, and all of the support staff that work collaboratively on a daily basis to solve problems, support one another, and maintain smooth operations. These staff work tirelessly, not because the work is easy or glamorous, but because they are deeply committed to serve our community. Today, on behalf of Social Services Division, I want to take a moment to thank them. Thank them for the dedication, their professionalism, and for showing up every day, even on the most challenging days, to ensure that our community's most vulnerable populations are connected to the essential eligibility services. Thank you.
All right, I'd ask Supervisor Ogren to read the resolution.
It's a proclamation by the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. Whereas the eligibility worker classification system was established more than 50 years ago, and whereas eligibility workers determine eligibility, that's a lot of work. And for people applying for and receiving CalWORKs, CalFresh, Medi-Cal, foster care, and general assistance, and whereas the determination of eligibility would be impossible without the support of all staff in the Health and Human Services Agency, Social Services Division, Eligibility and Temporary Assistance Services Units, including Eligibility, Social Service Assistants, Employment and Training Workers, Staff Services Analysts, Human Services Supervisors and Management Staff, as well as other administrative and support staff, including fiscal technicians, this is terrible, information systems specialists, welfare fraud investigator, secretarial, and whereas eligibility and temporary assistance services staff have earned a reputation for superior job performance, and through the provision of public assistance benefits, these staff members strive to strengthen and empower families and individuals. And now, therefore, we, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim January 24 as Eligibility and Temporary Assistance Service Staff Recognition Day in Siskiyou County and urge all citizens to recognize these staff members for their dedication and contributions to the social service system and the citizens of our county, passed and adopted this 20th day of January 2026. Thank you very, very much for all of your hard work.
Thank you for reading that.
Wow. Yeah. You did that on purpose.
We could have used our acronyms, it would have been about this
day.
When we update that, we'll be sure to slim it down a little bit.
Oof, thank you. Yeah. That was tough.
So, I have a question. Did you say that the one that's in Questis was changed?
The one that's in Questis is the correct one that they read. We've updated it since it was brought to the board last time, which was in like 2021, I believe.
Okay, no worries. I just want to make sure this is the one to get signed.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Not easy.
Thank you.
As you're just sitting next to me.
And we do need a motion.
I'm looking for a motion.
Second.
Motion.
I'll second.
With the modifications.
Of course.
The modifications.
So Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
7C, Facilities Management. Urgency request.
Good morning, Amanda Kimball, Director of Facilities Management, here to present the resolution and emergency contract for emergency drain pipe repair here at the Government Center.
Yeah, where in the complex of it?
It is the window wells right out to, if you go out the steps, it's to the left. It's where we have remodeled and moved all the IT staff. There are window wells down there. We identified just last month that they are blocked and aren't draining, and we need emergency repair before we have any flooding issues.
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you.
All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Oh, yes. Next up. Item 7D, local emergency for illegal pesticide use. Good morning.
Good morning, board members. Adam Hyland, staff service analyst for Siskiyou Office of Emergency Services here for Brian Cianone, who's currently enjoying a three-week stay in Korea, courtesy of the United States military. today we have the 60-day renewal of the emergency declaration regarding the illegal chemicals being discovered out in the areas where the illegal cannabis cultivation is going on, in order to keep this emergency active. It has to be ratified by the board every 60 days. And so this is the current time to do the next renewal. So we are asking that you consider and approve continuing the resolution.
Motion to extend.
Second.
I appreciate the inclusion of the hazards to emergency personnel we've put into this.
Absolutely.
The resolution hasn't changed from when it was adopted in July.
It has not.
And so we had Kopsef and Ogren, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
You bet.
Moving on to item 7E, Community Development. Director Lane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's such a nice ring to it. Haley Lane, Community Development Director. So it's come to staff's attention through communication with the board that there may be some applicants that are experiencing some processing issues related to the Williamson Act moratorium. And so since it was not the board's intention to hold up any projects or applications, we're requesting to remove the moratorium. It's staff is still planning to bring the white paper forward during the March meetings. So that is still on track, and staff will continue, you know, should the moratorium be rescinded, staff will process the existing applications under the current guidelines, and if there's any applications that are in flux or don't meet current guidelines, we will just keep them on hold for now. So, happy to answer any questions.
For me, could you, don't need to do it now, but could you give us a board list of pending applications that are part of this?
Yes, there is one.
Okay. Just one?
As far as I know.
Okay.
But I can do some more research.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is we have quite a few of them that we set aside with the moratorium that we were processing at the time.
Right, and those two have issues under the current guidelines, so we would keep them on hold until the white paper is presented, should the board want to make any policy recommendations and update the guidelines. So two for sure that are on hold. One
where there's a processing issue where they meet current guidelines.
Yeah, okay. You answered my question.
Okay, sorry.
So you, I would make the recommended motion.
Second.
Right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Would it be possible to take a quick break before
sure.
the next one?
We will recess for.
Oh, no. Five. It doesn't. Okay.